Tucson, good morning to you. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio on this Wednesday, October 14th. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Wednesday is our day where we take a bit of a small pause from the politics, the policy, the news, the issues, the ideas, for wisdom for weird times. Our weekly small step back here with our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton of Hope City Church, making sense of senseless times, our man of the cloth in shorts and a t-shirt here. Always thankful for a few brief thoughts on how to keep this time in perspective as we're now under, I think, 3 weeks to Election Day, which we knew was always going to be a weird year. Danette Bewley, the CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, will be on after that to give us an update on all that's going on over there and also some airport updates here in the times of COVID. So a good full show. We're happy to have you along for the ride. 790-2040 is your call line number. Pastor Jeff, how are you? Good to
Welcome.
See you.
Welcome. Good morning.
Yes. This is always a good time to get inside your head a little bit and what you're helping your faith community of Hope City Church
That's
through.
It's a scary place to be inside of my head.
Inside of your, I know. we've taken the risk and we're getting good feedback.
That's encouraging.
That our listeners are enjoying. Just a quick... every week.
Right.
And I know I appreciate that as well. What do we have on tap today, Pastor Jeff?
We're talking about, you've seen the moniker No Fear, perhaps the eyes on the t-shirts. I don't know if that was the 80s or the 90s, but we're looking at Proverbs chapter 3, 24 through 26. Whether you're a person of faith or not, hopefully this resonates with you. But the scripture reads, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. Interesting correlation there between sweet sleep patterns and no fear. And hopefully, it's weird to hear you say it, but just 3 weeks to election until I heard it said that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I think two sides of the same coin. There's fear on both sides, not just in the political realm, but with all the other things that seem to be going on in culture today. And so that's the look. I think what does it mean to be able to face the circumstances that we're in and to face those fears and to be able to experience rest in all of that?
Yeah, you know, Pastor Jeff, I think one of the things that as our faith and culture contributor is really important is that as a leader of a faith community, as a leader of a church, mm-hmm. where you are at geographically in the city, you get to really intersect with a lot of different people who have a lot of different fears, a lot of different concerns. What do you imagine are some of the fears that our listeners are having, that our community is having? If you had to kind of give a top three of what are you hearing from people that they're afraid of, and how do we have no fear?
Yeah, well, I think I'm not sure how this resonates with those specifically listening, but I think amongst those fears, outside of the political realm, specifically related to heightened awareness of COVID-19 and things surrounding that, is the well-being of our families. Money, will there be enough money to pay the bills, and personal health, how am I going to survive this? I think those are amongst the top three. We're in an environment where we see people travel as much as 45 minutes away from more affluent parts of the city to come and be a part of what's happening in the immediate area on 22nd and Craycroft. In the immediate area, it's homelessness, you know, it's domestic violence, it's addiction, prostitution. Those are all very real parts of the community that we live in. And so the fears associated with that look a little bit differently for the people living in that immediate neighborhood, but there's similarities as well. Personal well-being.
Yeah.
People that they care about. How do I put food on the table tomorrow or even mm-hmm. later today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pastor Jeff, there's no intent here to go at all political, but I was even, I don't have time during the day to watch C-SPAN, but I do listening when I clean my kitchen at night.
Sure, yeah.
And I was watching back on one of the senators questioning the Amy Coney Barrett,
yes.
the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And the only reason I bring that up, not to go there at all, is to say, One of the 30-minute spans was the senator saying, I'm asking you these questions because Americans are afraid.
Right. I heard that.
Again, whether you agree with that, disagree, I mean, we're not making any of those distinctions, Pastor Jeff, but there's this desire, there is this fear that exists. There's political fear, there's personal fear, there's community fear, there's fear that is often exploited, or fear that is capitalized on, or fear that is caricatured. So much of who we are as humans and how we interact with our community is fear-based.
Sure.
Is there a better way?
Yeah, I think there seems to be a correlation, and I'd be interested to hear what our listeners think, but there's an interesting correlation between the amount of fear that one experiences and the degree to which one is taking in news sources, whatever the news source is. You know, I go to certain households and it's piped in 24/7. I agree with you. The news blurbs I get are little interactions on my phone app. They're updates. That's the extent of it. I do now and then get to hear more of it, but I think the secret to dealing with one's fears lies in the foundation of prayer. And when I say prayer, that may sound like this woo-woo thing for some people that don't come from a place of faith, but prayer truly, in its essence, is a conversation with our Creator. And it doesn't have to include the these and the thous and be you know, trumped up to be something that it's perceived to be. It's simply just, this is what's on my heart. Help. Some of the, I think, the most sincere prayers are, help me. I have no idea what to do in this situation. I gotta tell you, I say that almost daily, if not every other day. Help me, because I don't know what to do in this situation. So, you know, it begs the question, what is a healthy prayer life look like? What is it? What does a conversation with our Creator look like? And how do we grow in that way to be able to begin to unpack these fears and get to the core of what's going on?
We start with a Proverbs, kind of this book of wisdom. We call it Wisdom for Weird Times. There's a book in the Bible called Proverbs that is, yes, kind of this book of wisdom. It's, sure, almost written like a father to his son.
Right.
Someone's saying, look, I've gone through all of this. Mm-hmm. Here's my advice for you. I'm going to pass it down to you. And that's, mm-hmm, kind of how it reads. You sent me a verse in the second half of the Bible in the New Testament, John 16, 32 through 33. And how we address fear is often based in where we think the solution lies, where we think the better way, yeah, lies, and how to address it. As your congregation comes to you and goes, I'm afraid that I'll lose my home. I'm afraid that I'll lose my job. I'm afraid of November 3rd. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of what's happening on the Supreme Court. Whatever the case is, whoever, you deal with a diverse body of people. What is your kind of ending call to action there? What is your encouragement there to that body?
Yeah, you know, so I want to ask the question, but I don't want to ask it in a flippant way. The question is, what are you afraid of truly? What is the absolute worst that can happen in the situations that we're facing? Maybe I do lose my home. Maybe my health is threatened to the point of death. Those are obviously serious things. But when you're thinking of the things that are going on in view of eternity, and I know that there are assumptions made in that statement, but there are things that are happening now. And if I take them into consideration in the larger perspective, a 50,000 foot view, if you will, there are worse things that could happen. I think that is inviting listeners to take a deeper look at what's really going on and to pare things back a bit. But I think it compels all of us to say there's a different perspective here. And some of this is actually bridging into our second segment. And so maybe I'm baiting our listeners a little bit. But I want to encourage you to discover what the Bible has to say about the problems that we face today, because there's an insight there into the things that are happening now that for people who do come from a perspective of faith, there is hope. And I don't know any other way to face the stuff that's going on right now, because I know I don't have it all together. As you're listening to me, I'm dealing with high blood pressure and some other things. And it's like,
right,
we're in this together. But in all of that, I still have hope.
Yeah, Pastor Jeff, I mean, that's a great way to ground it in the sense of I think fear is very short term driven. It's very much based on the now and the present. If
Correct.
We take a longer arc view,
Right.
Right. There are people of faith often think about things in terms of eternity, but right. even in the life we have now,
sure.
The lawn arc,
yep.
You know, our arcs in a certain way. How are we not in that short term view?
Right.
You know, and I have to agree with you, like this show and myself and yourself, it's not about pushing any kind of perspective or faith on anybody.
Right.
But I'm with you as a person of a private faith with the desire for community impact.
Yes.
If I didn't have a bigger picture view, there are days where I'm like, I don't know what I would do because the problems are so complex mm-hmm. and they seem so unovercomable.
Right.
It's a great word. I have all the best words.
Yes, overcomable.
Unovercomable.
It's in the Urban Dictionary.
I think your call to action is get that bigger picture.
Yeah.
What are you afraid of? And is what you're afraid of in the short term really the long-term fear?
Correct.
Yeah.
Good word.
Yeah. Well, you sent over all the stuff. We're just kind of walking through. Again, this is Get Inside Your Head. As our faith and culture contributor, you address these issues with real life people all the time.
Sure.
And this is our moment here on the show to kind of breathe and take a step back. Listeners say they are enjoying it. We're going to keep doing it, Pastor Jeff. And we're certainly going to keep doing it for the next 10 or so minutes when we come back from our first break and wrap up here with how you're encouraging your faith community here at Hope City Church. Pastor Jeff. When we're done with Wisdom for Weird Times, don't forget Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, will be in to talk about what we talked about yesterday with the Vice Mayor of Tucson, Paul Cunningham. The airport is a critical, vital element of this community. How's it doing? We'll find out by catching it with Danette Bewley in just a few minutes in the third segment. We'll be right back, though, here for part two with Pastor Jeff Loxton. Don't go away.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to DecibelCoffeeWorks.com for more info. Tucson, welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, here with Pastor Jeff Loxton, our faith and culture contributor here on the show. A few minutes every week, we lean on him to give us a little bit of a step back, whether you are a person of faith or not. We walk through a few big picture encouragements during this troubling time, making sense of a senseless world. And Pastor Jeff, I appreciate you. We've heard from listeners who are people of faith and who people are not, and everybody's enjoying it, which is the goal. And so we hope our listeners today are, and every week. One of the things that I find interesting is that I think, you know, the holy text of Christianity, the Bible, and I think we often think of it as, you know, somebody holding a lamb and it's cute and fuzzy or out of touch.
Right.
Where we're going to go next, the parts of the Old Testament are pretty graphic.
Sure.
And very
love it.
Real to life.
Yes.
I remember going to church one week and our pastor was preaching on the last chapter of Judges. And I'm not even going to describe it, but go to the last chapter of Judges and try thinking about preaching that on a Sunday morning.
Right.
To a group of college students.
Yes.
Pretty graphic. This is one of those cases where there's like a very real to life situation here. You've been speaking about it with your faith community. Let's wrap up with it, Pastor Jeff.
It's, you know, it's awesome because it's germane to the 22nd Street Quarter. I heard from somebody who grew up in the porn industry and he thought he was the furthest person from anything holy, if you will. And he began to read the Bible. I don't know what circumstances surrounded his initial desire to read scripture, but as a kid, and I know this all sounds wild, but as a kid who grew up around the porn industry, he said, the Bible is X-rated. And I never heard it put that way, but that was through his lens. And if you've had a chance to read Joshua chapter 2, you're probably familiar with Rahab. If you're familiar with Matthew and the genealogy of Christ, Rahab appears in the genealogy of Christ. But Rahab was a prostitute. And from our perspective, community tends to look down on people in that position. And so the tagline that's connected to that in the story of Rahab is not just looking at the life of the prostitute, but when your battles become your story. And maybe you don't identify with Rahab or prostitution, but we all have battles. And those battles, when we choose to embrace or engage them, will absolutely become a part of our story. And those stories bring encouragement to the people around us in the face of their battles. We're all looking to someone who's overcome something to give us hope in the middle of the things that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah. So flesh that story out a little bit. And again, I think this is really interesting because you, again, are your faith community, Hope City Church, your church is at 22nd and Craycroft. You are interacting with a diversity of people from a diversity of backgrounds, struggling with a diversity of themes. You're living this. How does this apply to your context, and what about this account stands out to you?
Let me paint this picture, and I love how it went down, but we had people coming from all parts of the city to come and meet the needs of that community. And it was opening day. We provided food for the church on that day. We provide breakfast every Sunday for those that show up. And on opening day, we decided to serve sandwiches, meals. But this is the picture I want you to grasp. Someone was carrying a plate of sandwiches, and before the plate ever touched the table, the people had completely raided it of all the sandwiches that were on it. We debriefed afterwards, and the immediate team was like, this is crazy. They don't have any manners, and painted this picture of like savages, right? And so my question was this, would we do it again? Is it worth it? And unanimously, they all said, yeah, it feels awkward, but we would absolutely do it again. Rahab comes from an unconventional background, but she understood what was going on around her. And when there were spies that came in to see what was going on within the walls of Jericho, she met them. Not only did she meet them, she hid them and said, when you guys come, please remember me, please remember my family. And so a pact was made with this prostitute to make sure that her family had protection when the people of God came into that community to conquer it, essentially. And so I think for me, the thought is don't ever give up on someone just because your patience has run out. And We all need someone to believe in us, no matter how far gone we feel like we are.
As we close, Pastor Jeff Loxton, you talked about encouraging people to see their battles and challenges as a part of their story. What are a couple pieces of tangible advice, again, that you are giving to your church at Hope City Church? What advice would you have for us today about how to turn our battles into our story?
Well, I think it's worth saying that some of those battles absolutely require healthy boundaries. I'm not talking about putting yourself in a vulnerable place. I mean, you have to look out for your emotional health, your emotional well-being. So what do healthy boundaries look like for you, whether that's counseling or meeting with a spiritual leader, someone who comes from a background where they can speak wisdom into that situation? But apart from that, this ties into the first segment, don't be afraid of those battles. In retrospect, the hardest times in my life, dealing with bankruptcy, dealing with divorce, dealing with situations in my own life, have become the very things that have strengthened me and given me the ability to speak life and hope into people going through similar situations. And so, yeah, it seems insurmountable right now, but if you can surround yourself with great people, these are things that are going to help you be able to get onto the other side of this and see life through a different lens and to be stronger in who you are as a person.
One of the things that you often talk about is who are you leaning on in the community during this time? Who is supporting you?
Yeah.
As we close, if anybody wants to chat with you offline or meet with you or check out, you know, Hope City Church as an outlet for challenges and opportunities during this time, where can people find you outside the studio?
Yeah, you can look us up at hopecitychurchtucson.com. And as Zach is sharing that, you know, I don't claim to have all the answers, but we really work hard to try and connect people with people and resources that can be those answers, whatever your need is.
For sure. And, you know, even on these segments together, Pastor Jeff, we talked about how you do that. Again, it's so great that you are geographically in areas meeting needs. You are topically meeting needs. And thank you for coming on the air with us for a few minutes every week to kind of give us a bit of a deep breath and a refocus here, making sense of senseless times. And they just keep getting more crazy and more crazy. So we'll keep doing it. Pastor Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you.
When we come back from our bottom of the hour news and sponsor messages, how is the airport doing? The Tucson International Airport. We'll talk to the CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority about some updates at TIA, the impacts of COVID on the airport, and more. Danette Bewley, CEO, is coming up. Don't go away. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA. Tucson, good morning to you. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio. It is Wednesday, October 14th. You're hanging out with me, your host, Zach Yenser, for this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. And oddly enough, in advance of this conversation this morning with Danette Bewley, the CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, we had both Tucson Vice Mayor Paul Cunningham on yesterday, and after him, Ethan Orr, running for Pima Community College Governing Board, and both mentioned and affirmed how important the airport is to our local economy, to the future of our region, an absolute vital piece of this ecosystem. And with that, we welcome into the 10-3 The Voice studio via our live line, Danette Bewley. Danette, thanks for making time this morning. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation to join you today, Zach. I'm well. And you?
Also well, which is some days the best we can ask for at this point. I know you've got a big calendar item on your calendar, Danette, for tomorrow. Definitely want to lean into that a little bit. But maybe if you can start with the kind of the 30,000-foot summary of how the TAA and the International Airport here in Tucson, how has it been managing COVID-19? What are some of the big impacts and opportunities going forward?
Well, like other industries, you know, we've seen a drastic reduction in people, you know, visiting or traveling. In fact, there was a time when the industry, the airline industry, was quite decimated. It's bouncing back a little bit. You know, we're not strong back on our numbers. We're still hovering around, you know, 40% of normal. Okay. That's a little higher than some of the other airports. I think the visit Tucson market and leisure market is bouncing back far faster than the business travel market. And we're really not sure how that is going to bounce back with people adapting to Zoom and WebEx and other mechanisms to get their work done. So we'll have to wait and see. But there's been some positive glimmers. We have a TOS CARES campaign, which is all about safety and health types of initiatives to make people know that we're doing a really good job of cleaning. And we recently just won or earned an award. We're the fifth airport in the world to earn it. It's called the Global BioRisk Advisory Council Award. And it's an accreditation that looks at your cleaning protocols, your training, the equipment you use, the HEPA filters that you put in your filtration systems. It looks at everything. And we didn't realize when we went into it that would be the fifth airport in the world. We figured there'd be, you know, hundreds of airports. And we were quite surprised when the BAC Council told us this. So that's a real feather in our cap because we want to be able to say, yes, we're doing everything to the highest safety and cleanliness protocols, but how do we really know? Now we know. We found this information and we said, this is what we want to do and this is who we want to be. So hopefully things like that will make people feel more confident in wanting to return back to travel.
The Tucson Airport Authority, again, of which our guest right now, Danette Bewley, is the CEO, is a unique nonprofit created and developed by business leaders and established by the Arizona State Charter in 1948. I didn't realize that before this conversation. You operate the Tucson International Airport as well as Ryan Airfield. You oversee over 8,000 acres, 2.5 million square feet of space, 130 separate buildings. Massive effort, Danette Bewley, to provide a sustainable airport system and pursue initiatives that promote and grow business opportunities. The item we want to talk about here in a second definitely ties into that. What are some of the business opportunities and how does TIA and what you do at the authority really impact Tucson's ability to recover from this pandemic?
Oh boy, that's a loaded question. I'll do my best to dive into it. Really having any airport in a community is important because it brings business, especially a commercial service airport. Before the pandemic and our last economic impact statement about a year or two ago showed that we had a $7.4 billion annual impact to the community.
Jeez.
that's good jobs and, you know, stable jobs and manufacturing. And, you know, it really was going up. And there was a time that we were saying, gosh, a couple of years will probably hit 10 billion. And a couple of years after that, it could be even higher. So we're going to have to crawl out of that. But really what it means is that certainly companies that use supply chain logistics for whatever it is their business is, it could be, you know, manufacturing that and parts are being shipped by air. You know, you want to be close to an airport. Or if your business does rely on an airport, access to a runway, you know, there's different people. Yeah, you know, I'll use Bombardier as an example. Obviously they're aircraft, but they're not commercial aircraft. There's Ascent Aviation, and they do a lot of things on the airport too, need access, and they're growing business and doing well. So we want to make sure that we're positioning ourselves to grow the businesses that are aeronautical and also the businesses that are non-aeronautical that can use our land and benefit, you know, our region and our community. We've partnered with Sun Corridor, who are the experts in economic development, and they chase down the leads, and then we work together, and hopefully we can bring some new businesses to the airport in Byron's. They do that all over the community, but for us, it'd be the airport in Byron's, because it's a good thing for not just the airport, but also the community. It means jobs. It means, you know, stability. You know, it's growing our economy, you know, one step at a time. That's important to us because, especially in a time like this when, you know, no one expected a pandemic, but more than ever, you start to look at your business and you realize if you've got all your eggs in one basket, as my mom used to say, that may not be the best plan. You drop the basket, all the eggs break. Well, it might be good to diversify. So while the airlines and commercial air service is our primary line of business, we do want to diversify and have other lines of business. So if things get a little rough in one area, we have the ability to kind of ride it out because of the other areas. Now, in a pandemic situation like now, everybody's feeling just about the same. But still, diversification is what we're after so that we can be stronger as we come out of this.
Dannette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. I think that's a good segue to the main event, Dannette, that really led me to reach out and say, hey, let's have a conversation on the air. What I think is an exciting new initiative, a groundbreaking tomorrow, Dannette, groundbreaking ceremony at 10:30 a.m. virtually, the Tucson Airport Authority's Airfield Safety Enhancement Project. Speak to why this is huge for the airport. And then I have a follow-up question after that, but tell us why this is important.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's all about safety. And, you know, safety is always our top priority. It's also the top priority of the FAA, who governs, you know, the FAA is our regulator and governs our operation as far as us following all the compliance initiatives, regulations that the government sets forth. And just like roads and highways have standards that change, so do airports. And the standards have changed, and we've gone through a process of planning and environmental study and then design. And it's a very complicated project, and probably take about 5 or so years, depending on how much federal funding that we can receive in any given year. But it's all about safety because we need to add a little more separation between our two runways. And believe it or not, there are two over there. One is really considered only useful for general aviation aircraft, which is great, but it doesn't really provide us any type of redundancy should we need it and should our main runway have a problem. So working very closely with the FAA, we have designed a parallel runway system that will be demolishing the existing general aviation runway and then relocating it, pushing it off a little bit closer to the Raytheon campus. And we'll be putting a center taxiway between the two runways. And then all of the connector taxiways The standards are different now. Used to be that they would be a straight line. You could just shoot across the two runways. That's not a good idea anymore because, you know, what the FAA is starting to notice is, like, we have distracted drivers. Sometimes there are distracted or confused pilots. So now they've got real decision points where you can't shoot straight across. You have to make a left or a right turn. That's the new standard on airfields so that people don't make mistakes. And so that's one of the main benefit. Working closely with the Air National Guard, you know, they've got a wonderful operation and a very strong mission here in Southern Arizona. They're contributing to the project financially and with design input and a stakeholder along with many others. And they'll get what they need, upgrades to the barrier arresting system that they use for their F-16s. We will have just more modern, up-to-date airfield, you know, lighting, of course, the pavement, the separation of the safety between the two runways and the taxiways. It'll be all up to the new standards. Again, our airport is and our airfield is not unsafe. It's just not. Yeah, complies with the existing standards. If we did nothing to our airfield, the FAA would not come after us and say, you guys should be doing this. It would be grandfathered. But we're chasing after doing what we feel is best for the airport, the community, for safety. And there's a lot of side benefits to the project. And we also have some land transactions, swapping land with the county, with the Air Force, with Raytheon gets a little piece of land, we get a little piece of land. Everybody gets something out of this that everyone needs. So it was really a collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. So it's just a really wonderful project.
And I would imagine that this also could lay the groundwork for adding new flights and new airline providers as well. In the future, with some more space and upgraded safety measures, is that a fair statement?
Well, you know, capacity was never one of the goals. Adding capacity to the airfield, however, it is a side benefit. You know, when you do duplicate a runway, you're going to get additional capacity, and if that helps air traffic control vector in and vector out aircraft. Mm. Differently and safer, that's great. If airlines look at this and say, well, we can get another flight in at this time, that would be great. Again, it's a side benefit that we're happy to have, but it's not the reason for the project. The nice thing about the project, too, is that while it may take 5-6 years, depending on funding, there's going to be a lot of local jobs that are created because of this project, hundreds of jobs, trades. You name the trade, except for building, of course, like facility building. But, you know, the people that are really expert in electrical and pavement and grading and dirt, that kind of thing, we're going to have jobs for the next 4 to 5 years. And, you know, we've assembled a wonderful team of professional consultants, industry consultants, local consultants, and then, you know, the local workforce will be tapping into as well. So we're just very happy that, you know, that we can move forward on this. I will say it's a little pricey. The price tag is about $300 million as we sit today. Most of that is covered through federal funding and state funding, TAA funding, and military. The military's kicked in some money as well. So it's a combination, but it's not an inexpensive venture we're starting.
We're with Danette Buley this morning, the CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. Quick final question before we head out here. Danette, congratulations on the groundbreaking. I think I was in a meeting where you were presenting a year and a half ago, and you were talking about this. So this takes a while. I mean, it's not like you woke up last month and go, let's do this. It's a long effort. But we talked about flights and, you know, how this upgrades and things like that. I know a lot of our listeners just on the consumer side will wonder real quick, are we going to lose any flights? We've seen a lot of staffing cuts. Do you expect that we'll lose any airlines or any flights or anything like that? How is that all balancing out?
Well, you know, we have lost flights. You know, we're down about 60% of our flights. And, you know, the airlines have made cuts across the board. You know, I think they're reacting to the pandemic, as we all are. But what's really interesting is that we will see some flights come back. We've got a new flight that'll be starting up, I believe it's November the 4th. Southwest Airlines has announced nonstop service between Tucson and Houston Hobby. That's fantastic because that'll take people across the nation down, you know, if they want to get down to Florida, head over to Disneyland or Disney World, or if you want to go down to the Caribbean or Latin America, Houston Hobby is a real great gateway for that kind of transfer. So it opens up a lot of opportunities for us in the Tucson area. We're hopeful that some of our previous flights, like nonstops to San Diego and some of the California markets, will come back later this year or early into the next year. California is a little bit uncertain at the moment because, you know, they're battling the pandemic at a different rate and level than we are here in Arizona. So the airlines are looking at where are people going, where can they go, where do they want to go. And right now, Arizona seems to be popular because of the open spaces.
Right.
And so hopefully, as we kind of inch our way out of the pandemic and we start to come back, we'll see some of our previous flights get restored. And then we'll, of course, continue to work on the nonstop air service that we were working on beforehand, New York, Washington, D.C., Boston, you know, Canada, Mexico. Those are always top of mind for us. So, but you asked about the airlines. You know, with the federal funding package not going forward, it does impact the airlines a lot. And you've seen in the news that they're laying off people or furloughing people or doing a reduction in pay. It's a very sad situation, and I think it goes hand in hand with the pandemic, the level of flights, and just the cost of operating an airline.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me to predict because airlines are very fragile markets. And, you know, you could see how something, your show is called The Tipping Point, and the airlines definitely hit the tipping point. So we're all in recovery mode. And as an airport operator, our job is to keep the cost low, be reasonable, try to help where we can, because we're all in this together. We don't succeed if they don't succeed.
Yeah.
So it's real important for us to be really cost aware, cost conscious, still do the things we need to do for safety, security, and customer service. At the same time, we're watching our bottom line for them.
Danette Bewley, I'm so thankful for you coming on and sharing some of all the dynamics you're handling, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. Wanted certainly today to talk about this groundbreaking tomorrow, but I'll reach out. Love to have you back on and talk about some of these dynamics that you mentioned at a later time. But congratulations for getting through this pandemic so far and the groundbreaking tomorrow, and good luck with everything.
Well, thank you. I'd love to be back on the show whenever you want me.
Absolutely. I'll reach out.
Okay, we have a great day.
You as well. Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. Let's go to our final break of the hour. When we come back, we'll wrap up and take off for the day. We'll be right back, just a couple minutes here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at MassMutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started. Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA. Tucson, thanks for joining us today here on Tipping Point on the show. That does it for us today. Hey, Thursday and Friday, full way to end the week. Nick Pearson, governing candidate, TUSD governing board candidate, will be on. George Hammond, U of A economist, will be on Friday. Nick tomorrow, George on Friday. Workforce Pivots, Financial Friday. We'll also cover Prop 208 and the Supreme Court hearing as well before the week is out. So that's how we're going to close out the week. Meantime, Tucson, stay safe, stay healthy, stay well. Bill Buckmaster coming up after me, as always, and lots of great news and talk ahead of you today here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. That's it for us here on Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, signing out for now. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, 9 a.m. Take care.